Welcome to Little Listeners Lounge, a unique and dynamic kids podcast sampler. I'm your host, Dan Dews, also the producer of the kids podcast By Kids for Kids Storytime. And joining me on this escapade is Meredith Kelly, the producer of the perfect podcast app for kids, Storytopia.
Together, our plan is to showcase the world of children's podcasts. We aim to celebrate and promote the creativity and dedication behind these captivating audio adventures. By featuring snippets, interviews, and behind-the-scenes insights, we provide listeners with a taste of the best in children's podcasting. So let's get to it. In this episode, we'll dive into Dan's podcast, By Kids for Kids Storytime.
It thundered and rumbled.
We need to eat something.
The lion's head grumbled.
Exactly.
The dragon said,
this is not funny. We need to find something to fill up our tummy.
Come,
said the goat.
Let us go out and hunt.
The others agreed with a roar and a grunt. The hungry chimera marched out the cave door. The lion let out a magnificent roar. The dragon blew fire. The goat gave a bleat. The snake's tail hissed and said,
it's time to eat,
I think,
said the lion.
Okay, great. So, Dan, what is By Kids for Kids Storytime?
Well, By Kids for Kids Storytime is a podcast that's been live since 2017. It's a kid podcast for kids aged 3 to 13. It's a whole lot of fairy tales, folk tales from around the world, myths, legends, and stories we've written ourselves, increasingly more and more. But what makes us us is that our stories are performed exclusively by kids from around the world. Once we've recorded the kids, they're narrated by my darling daughter, Ruby, who's a real voice veteran. Once the voices are recorded, we mix this with music and sound effects to create a really immersive audio tapestry for the kids to get lost in.
What inspired you to create the podcast?
Well, as I said, started many years ago. My kids were a lot younger. I produce podcasts for grown-ups. And one day I came home and the kids asked me, Daddy, what do you do at your work? And I said, well, I make podcasts. And they said, well, what is that? And I said, well, you know what? Let's go to my studio and we'll make one together. So we chose a story, The Three Bears. And my daughter narrated, my son did all the voices. And they actually did all the sound effects as well. And this thing, it actually turned out to be really cute. And at the time, I was speaking to radio stations. And I said to them, as I was trying to punt my grown-up things, I said, do you guys want any children's content? And they said, yes, bring it on. So that kick-started me. I produced 13 episodes, and it was wonderful. We didn't do any advertising. We didn't do any marketing whatsoever. It just sort of took off by itself.
Tell me the process of creating an episode from concept to release.
All right. So what I used to do is I used to spend a huge amount of time trawling through public domain stories. I must have read thousands and thousands of stories, and then I would rewrite those. These days, I actually write the stories myself. That's the first thing I do. Once that's done, I need to record the kids. So there's a permanent call out on By Kids for Kids Storytime to kids. They all know that they can perform with us. So they audition on our website, and I've got a long list, a waiting list of who's next to record. So then I'll contact them. It's complicated because they're kids from all over the world. This is one of the hardest things about the job, time zones. It's insanely difficult, especially here. I'm in Germany, where we have daylight saving. I think you do too, which always throws a spanner in the works. Anyway, once that's done, we record on a program similar to Zoom called StreamYard. And the kids are involved, the parents are involved, I'm there. It's always a lot of fun for everyone. And the kids always come out of it more confident and laughing. Anyway, that done, I record Ruby's narration. I've got a sound booth over here. She's a professional. She knows exactly what to do. And it normally takes her, I don't know, 7.5 minutes to do the whole thing. Once that's done, I assemble all the voices, run through it, and start adding music and sound effects. It's almost like painting a picture, but I'm painting with sound. Once that's done, I do all the technical things to make it the right levels and the right EQs and so on, upload, and then it's done.
You mentioned scheduling and doing all of the kids, I have to say here that my daughter Anna has participated as a child voice on the show, and just imagining the amount of scheduling and coaching that you do for each of the kids is wild. Because I mean, I think if I remember correctly, we were up at like 6 or 7 in the morning to meet a schedule that you, it was like the only time before school that she was available, and she had a little bit of a cold. But in the end, like you said, it just gives so much confidence, because once they hear the finished episode, they're so delighted to be a part of the program. And I just think that's so special. What you do is so unique and special in this kid space. And I think it's just really fun.
Oh, thank you. You know, I wish I could see the look on those kids' faces when they hear it for the first time.
Yeah, it's really, really wonderful. I mean, because they're waiting. They know the script, right? Because they've read the script and they know when their part is going to come, but just hearing it for the first time all together with all the other kids is really, really fun.
That's great.
What are the other obstacles maybe that you've overcome in this space?
The challenges that I have had, one of the biggest obstacles is finding stories. And that's why, as I say, I've come into my own in terms of writing stories. We've got about 250 or so episodes. Of those, about 27, I've really written with the greatest integrity and intensity that I can. And I'm very proud of those stories. But prior to that, finding public domain stories, as I said, I've read thousands of them. And you'll get... We need a story that's around about 1,000 words. Sometimes I'll start reading a story and I realize it's too long, or I realize that it's offensive. There are so many offensive stories that belong to a very old-fashioned sensibility. You know, for instance, throwing old women in ovens and setting them on fire, or giving away princesses as rewards for a valorous prince. You know, these are outdated and they're vicious, and I don't think it's suitable for our kids' ears. I love a bit of adventure, and I don't like vanilla stories. I like them to have a little bit of edge, and they can be silly and funny. I try and imagine myself as a kid, because I basically am a kid in a grown-up's body. So I think I know what works for them. I hope I do. But, you know, I really have to work hard to rewrite them, to change the language, firstly, so that it's modern language, but also to remove those kind of sexist and racist things from the stories. Yeah.
So share the most memorable moments, or share one of the most memorable moments that you've had in this creating experience.
So one of the moments that was the most important to us was after I had just moved to Germany. I'm from South Africa. When we came here, I knew that I'd struggled to find kids. We always recorded kids in our studio in South Africa. And prior to coming, we recorded 26 episodes of The Wizard of Oz. So I knew I had something to keep myself busy with, but I had no idea what I was going to do after that. And then COVID came. And that, of course, is a huge disaster. We don't need to be told that. But what was interesting is that the World Health Organization approached me and they said, can you do a story for us? They'd written a story about COVID. Could we perform it and produce it with By Kids for Kids? I said, sure, but we can't get kids in the studio, number one, because of social distancing, and number two, because I don't really have English kids where I am. But I said, what I can do is I can use Zoom-like technology, like the technology we're using now, and find kids. I said, fine, go for it. So I ran with it. I decided to try and find a kid from every continent, because I thought this was a story that affected everyone. So it should be told by everyone. So we got all these kids together, and it was fantastic. It was so much fun for me and for them. And that I quickly realized that this was great. I mean, the kids listening, I'm sure they could detect a dip in audio quality because some of the kids didn't have great internet lines, but it didn't matter. Because they were hearing this diversity of voices, and that enriched the podcast so much that became our thing. I immediately put out a call to everyone saying, and that's an indefinite call. It's a perpetual call. You can join the podcast. Anyone can join the podcast. And the auditions have never stopped coming. I'd like to play you just a little introduction of that episode, because I find it quite thrilling.
So in this truly global episode, we are joined by heroic kids from all around the world,
Aubrey from Canada.
Cammy from Sydney, Australia.
Saint Andrea from Kenya.
Maya Degenhardt from South Africa.
Santiago Mata from Monterrey, Mexico.
Max and Ruby Dews from Germany.
My name is Ranveer Singh Bajaj from Singapore.
Ranveer Singh Bajaj. I'm from Singapore and I'm presenting for Bikers Focus Storytime.
We bring you an important story about the coronavirus.
I don't know the timing of it, but I imagine if it was even in the first few months that this was recorded, the kids felt a sense of empowerment during a time when they felt that lots of things were out of their control.
Exactly.
Parents too, I'm sure, who were participating felt like some sense of community in this when everything was shut down.
Exactly.
So how wonderful.
You know, at the start of that, I couldn't play the whole snippet, but at the start of that, I had Ruby doing this rousing speech before that came in. And have you ever seen Braveheart?
Yes.
You know, where he sort of rides up and down in front of all these warriors and says, you know, we can do this. I've forgotten what he said. For freedom! And I think Ruby says, you know, they can lock us down, but they can't take away our stories!
What were the tools and technology that you were using and sort of how did that evolve, you know, and has it continued to evolve or do you still use the things that you started when COVID first hit?
I'm a professional sound engineer. This is what I do. This is my day job. This is my bread and butter. So I've got all the top audio software. I've got a voice booth, etc. One doesn't need much to produce a podcast. You need a good computer. Well, a computer, microphone, and audio software, and lots of imagination and dedication.
So, well, for all of the parents and kids out there that are listening, if you want to make a podcast, you can too.
You're absolutely right. And you know what's given me so much delight? Because I have cycled around sometimes to kids, and it's been fantastic to see them again. And what really gives me a kick is when you see a kid who was maybe 5 years old and now they're seven, and you say, how are you doing? And they said, yeah, no, we're fine. And I can see there's a look on their face that says they want to say something. I said, you know, have you got any news? They said, yeah, we've got our own podcast now.
Awesome.
Which I think is amazing, you know, and I give them a punt on the podcast. I give them a shout out and yeah, I think it's great.
Tell me a little bit about how you choose your voiceover artists. Your little guests.
Well, my narrator, that's not a tough one to choose. That's really. But the other ones, the criteria is they should be, well, I was going to say they should be 3 to 13. If someone came and said they have a two-year-old that wants to do it, and in fact, somebody has recently, we haven't done it yet. Just a few words, we'll do it. You need a reasonable internet line. You don't need to be a super talented performer. You just need to have the will to do it. You don't even need to be able to read. I've had loads of kids that can't read. And in fact, sometimes I prefer it if they don't read because reading can be quite demanding. And what I really want from them is to perform. And, you know, especially when I had kids in the studio back in the day, I used to make them laugh because as a voice artist, it often looks really funny. You make your face scrunched up or whatever. You do all these weird things, which, you know, it really comes out in the voice. You know, if you're feeling sad, you've got to kind of really look sad and do this thing. And if you don't do that, you just don't hear it. And that's what I get these kids to do. So at first, they have a little bit of a laugh at me, and then I can see they're shy. They don't want to do it. And maybe the parents will say, come give it a go. And I say, don't worry, we'll do it again. And the kids start to sort of laugh a little bit. And then they do it. And then you can see them gaining confidence. And, you know, I really hope that they walk away from that experience and develop just one extra little notch of confidence that they can take away with them in their normal lives, you know, not just in recording a kid's podcast.
Tell me a little bit about the way the podcast engages with its audience and incorporates feedback.
The most important one is to, number one, perform with us. Number two, to actually write stories. So that's also an open invitation. We recently recorded some kids in Taiwan. And I'd known these guys for a few years, and they said, oh, you know, we need to record this story now because we have to go to a New Year's celebration. And then they said, did you know the story of the neon monster? I said, no. Well, he said, that's a traditional Chinese folktale that happens at New Year's. I said, well, do you want to write that story for Bi Kids for Kids? And I could see them go, that's a really good idea. And then they disappeared. And a few days later, there came the story, perfectly written. And I could see they really thought about where all the direct speech is going to be. Because Bi Kids for Kids stories, by definition, have to have loads of direct speech.
Right.
And that was fantastic. So I love that. I love it when kids write stories. We've had a few kids submitting their stories.
Do you have a personal favorite episode or something that you would share with us?
I do. Well, one of my favorite episodes is a story I wrote myself, but it's based on a Scottish folktale. It's called The Woman Who Fooled the Fairies. This is a rhyming story. And in this story, this woman, she's a baker, she gets kidnapped by a hungry band of fairies, and they want her to bake cake for them exclusively.
She woke up in a cave. Her eyes were watery and bleary. She looked around and saw that she'd been kidnapped by the fairies. They sat at little tables, each with little forks and plates. They chatted with excitement. They were all in quite a state. They hammered on the tables, chanting,
"Bake, bake, bake! We can't wait to fill our plates with cake, cake, cake!"
The leader of the fairies raised a hand and looked around. She glared at all the others, who began to settle down. The leader said,
"I'm sorry that we used our fairy dust, but we demand to eat your cake. We can't resist. We must."
I just love the chant in that. There's the kid in me that also wants to hammer my table saying, "Cake, cake, cake."
Like all the kids. We want cake.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so fun. Okay, so tell me a little bit about how you measure feedback or success of the podcast. Do you hear from parents ever once kids are recorded or anything like that?
Absolutely. Not just from the parents of the kids who record, but from parents of listeners. I think parents like it. And that gives me a kick when I know that they also listen to the podcast. Some feedback I've heard is that they're not good bedtime stories. And I'd be the first to admit to that. They're very exciting stories. They're lively stories. They're stories that probably get your heart pumping or get you laughing or get all thrilled. So I'd be the first to admit they're not bedtime stories.
Maybe it's better to describe them as like after school snack time stories.
That's a good one.
Or getting up in the morning, jumping out of bed stories.
That's it. Wake up stories.
Last question. Can you share a fun fact with us?
Well, a fun fact, one of the greatest moments that for me personally is we had an episode with Stephen Fry. Now, Stephen Fry has always been one of my heroes. He's a fantastic writer, actor, thinker, so many things. He's so well respected. He was the voice of Harry Potter in all the English Harry Potter audiobooks. There's a different American versions of it, but he's amazing. And he had this podcast called Great Leap Years, on which I heard a story which was amazing. It was a story about the history of chess. And I reached out to him. I really had to hunt him down because he makes every effort not to be contactable. He's very popular, especially in the UK. And I sort of tried this channel through a studio and, one person to the next. And I got this answer back saying, absolutely. You can definitely use the story with my voice. So we did. We created our own version of it with the kids performing with Stephen Fry. And it's such a moment, which was for me, for the kids, because they love this guy. They've heard all 7 Harry Potters read by this guy. So to have them, their voices with his was an absolute thrill. And in fact, maybe I can end off by playing you a little bit of that episode.
Nothing tickled him or worked his saliva glands until he came to a table at which sat an old Persian man who gave him a wrinkled, snaggle-toothed grin and bade him,
"Sit before me, sire, and play this game I have invented."
"It looks very plain," compared to the intricate contraptions of the other inventors.
A wooden board. Two ranks of pale boxwood figures.
The white pieces?
Facing across to two ranks of identical ebony figures.
The black pieces.
The inventor pointed to show the differences.
My game is unique because there is no luck. Just planning, cunning, skill, daring, and imagination. Just
that's the one time in which Ruby was not the narrator. She was an actor. So
yeah. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing time with us today. I'm excited about this new podcast, and I look forward to more interviews.
Me too.
All right.
Nice stuff, Meredith. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.